It's time for 1313 Harbor, the podcast hosted by Jasmine and Michelle.
Live from Disney's California studios, it's 1313 Harbor, the podcast, starring Jasmine
and Michelle.
Hi, I hope I'm not like talking too quiet. Now I'm talking more loud, but
that's
I felt
good.
Like
well,
I
you,
was
a... You know, a wise sound engineer once said... It's easier to make it softer than to make it louder.
Whoever that is sounds sexy and smart.
Yeah, she also sounds like she has a very nice butt.
No, it's okay. Her sister got the nice butt.
Who's her sister?
Her sister who is 10, her name Jade, who is 10 years older than her.
Oh!
Yes.
Got it.
So are you ready for some news?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, should we tell them where we are?
Oh, we should. Well, no, we're live from Disney's California Adventure.
Oh, right. I got that from the intro.
We are in line for Soarin' right now.
Soarin' Over California!
Yes, because we are happy that Soarin' and Over California is back. It is going to be back at least for the length of summer. We will get to that in the news. People liked that we recorded in Disneyland 2 episodes ago.
And
so.
We didn't want to... I feel like California Adventure is like Disneyland's like ugly little sibling.
It is, but we love it because it's the gift from Disney Daddy.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks. So a lot of people are blocked out from Disneyland from the summer. Cast members, certain passes. So we thought...
Cast members, Romans, countrymen.
Lend me your ears. So we thought it would be nice to come to DCA and do two... star attractions, Soarin' Over California and Mickey's PhilharMagic.
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not by calling them star attractions.
Well, Soarin's not. I'm not being sarcastic with Soarin'.
Yeah, but you are with PhilharMagic.
Well, I can't be like, the star attraction and her friend. Mickey's PhilharMagic.
And Peggy.
You picked PhilharMagic.
I know. What's wrong with me? I feel like that song in Mean Girls, What's Wrong With Me?
And
under
I saw
5 seconds.
I saw that live on Broadway as well.
And Tina Fey's voice was there.
It was there. And I thought she was really there, and I was sad that she was not.
Maybe she was.
She was. She was just behind me going, sometimes to stop monkey business, we must create it.
We begin today with breaking news.
Walt Disney World has raised their annual pass prices in ahead of Galaxy's Edge opening.
Oh, okay.
So... Epcot after, so they have an Epcot after four pass, oh, an Epcot after four pass, which is, I guess you can get into Epcot after four.
That seems to be the case
based
on the name.
That only increased by $20.
Oh.
The gold pass increased by $90, and the platinum pass increased by $150, but still all the passes are much cheaper than the passes for Disneyland.
Yeah, so, I mean, that stinks.
Enjoy Florida.
But also... You get four parks
yes.
for less price.
And we get two.
For more price.
So.
Do the math.
That's like $5 per, I don't know how much they cost.
I don't know.
10 billion doll hairs.
They're not so, worth nothing.
They're not worth nothing. You can sell them to a doll factory for like $10,000. And 30 Rock. So yeah, if you have a pass, I think there's also that pass, I think it's like the premiere is the one. That you can go to both, you can go to any park in the United States, basically.
I thought that was Signature.
Is it Signature?
I don't know.
It's whatever one Tiff has.
Yeah, she's the cool one.
She's the cool one.
One day I want that. One day.
One day I want to be so jet setting that I'm like, oh, I'm just going to Orlando for the week.
Well, if you could learn to sleep on a plane, you
could. I know. I was complaining to my mom about that. I'm like, Michelle can just go on a plane. Oh, monorail.
Hello.
I was like, Michelle can just go on a plane, sleep, get there, and have a day. We're going on Lufthansa business class, and my mom and I are like, yeah, we're not going to sleep. The chairs lay down.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, we're not going to sleep. We're lucky if we're going to, my mom's like, I would love to get like 6 hours of sleep. I'm like, I would love to get two.
No. You got to do what I do.
Increase your serotonin.
Increase your serotonin. Yeah. No. That or take a Benadryl, wash it down with a glass of champagne.
Oh.
Like all the good housewives do. That put me out for half my trip to China.
Oh, good.
And the way back from China, mm-hmm. I slept the entire ride, and I got in at like 2 p.m., and then I had the whole day, and I got right back on California time.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
but you also, you like don't have trouble sleeping like I do, just naturally.
No. If you look at me too long, I will fall asleep.
That's true. I was telling my mom how I was jealous how you can just like go sit somewhere in Disneyland, and you were like, oh, where are your favorite nap spots? And I'm like, nowhere. I can't go to sleep in Disneyland. You're like, oh, I have many.
Yeah. I literally can sleep anywhere. I can sleep anywhere. The only problem is when I was younger, I used to
cough.
I used to cough. The only problem is when I was younger, I used to take the train, or sorry, the train or the bus from my little town forward slash quiet village in upstate New York to Manhattan to go see Beauty and the Beast on Broadway. Did you hear all the gasps? Everyone was shocked by this information.
Like, Michelle likes Beauty and the Beast?
What? I used to fall asleep, so that was stressful because when I would wake up, I wouldn't know where I was.
Like, I'm in New York.
New York.
And then you dance off the bus.
Da 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 da. Bop.
So yeah, a tangent about me being jealous of Michelle's sleeping patterns.
Yep. It's on theme, Sleeping Beauty.
It is true. It's on theme.
Yep.
So this is some good news. Disneyland's Main Street Theater will no longer be selling merchandise inside.
Hooray!
I guess a lot of people complained about it.
And but not me, just
not
to
you,
clarify.
Not Michelle. Not I professionally. I guess a lot of people went and complained at City Hall.
Well, maybe Disney looks forward to Wednesday
yes.
and listens to our podcast.
They do. They're like, oh, we should get rid of that. And then the thing that made me laugh is all the articles I read were like, oh, and they added benches. I'm like, the benches were already in there. They took them out. I don't even think they took them out. I think they just added more. They added 4 more. Yeah. And they were already there. So they didn't add benches. They were there to begin with.
I think we should go sit down in them.
I think we should. So going over to Universal, Orlando, Hagrid's motorbike is so popular, it will only be opening midday for the foreseeable future. The ride was seeing a lot of downtime due to overuse.
What?
Yeah, so the ride, I guess they were, people, you know, the lines were like 10 hours plus, so they were running it way past closing, so the ride was just getting overused, and I guess there was causing a lot of downtime, so they released a statement saying that they're only going to be starting at midday, they didn't give a specific time, they just said midday.
Sure.
Yeah, that they're going to run the ride.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I guess it was just so popular that they're like, yeah, don't even get in line till like noon.
Wow.
Because people were like, every day they were getting to the park before opening to get in line.
Well, yeah. What did you say? It was the best roller coaster in the world or something?
That's what I heard. That's what people were saying. It's funny. It's because people were, someone was saying like, oh, well, like, if that's going to have like a 10-hour line, Galaxy's Edge is, you know, the Millennium Falcon ride, when it opens to the public, is going to have like a 14-hour line. And I'm like, no, people are going to be waiting for the cantina for 14 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought that was interesting, though, that they're just like, nope, sorry, we're not opening it till afternoon.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I agree with this, Universal. Universal Studios Hollywood will open a tropical-themed bar called Isla New Bar next to the soon-to-be-open Jurassic World ride.
Ooh.
A lot of people are saying this is because, like, Ogas is doing so well, so Universal's like, let's open a cool-themed tiki bar.
Okay.
Like, I mean, that's just smart business.
Look, I love myself a tiki bar. I know you don't drink.
Yeah, I know you don't drink.
But I love a tiki bar. Mm-hmm. My first date with Dale was at a tiki bar.
Oh, which one? Oh, you told me.
Over here at California Adventure, Disneyland.
I forgot you told me.
And it was
entitled
Trader Sam's.
Oh.
I can't remember. Guys, I'm having a stroke.
It's because you just really want to talk to strangers with the pork puppet.
Don't judge me. How dare you?
I'm not judging you. I'm just pegging you. I just know. I know.
I know. You know me too well. You and Dale, I don't like it. Especially don't like when you two get together. I don't like it.
Well, I just tell him to drink some boba.
Yeah.
Just like, drink some boba, Dale.
Which is basically an F you. Because Dale hates boba.
That's going to be my new, anytime he says something I don't like, I'll be like, drink some boba, Dale. they have like cool new themed drinks. It'll be tropical libations next to Jurassic World, the attraction. And a dinosaur will come out and it will eat your face.
Huh.
And then you'll die.
Huh.
And then you get to go to Bar Heaven. So there's a new reservation system coming to Ogas Cantina and Savvy's Workshop. So there's two types of reservations. We're going to go over both of them because this episode will come out. But starting Monday, June 24th, which is the day before my birthday, there's going to be new ways to get into Galaxy's Edge and two types of reservation systems. Michelle's eyes are glazing over as I talk about this.
No, I'm listening. I'm paying attention because I don't understand.
I did a lot of research, so you don't have to.
Thank you.
This
is why I like this podcast.
I meant the audience, but also you.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You guys.
So same day reservation. So this is for Ogas and Savvies. Same day reservations will open at 7 a.m. through the website and the app. So every morning at 7 a.m. you can go on the app and you can book either a reservation at Ogas or Savvies through the app. But here's the stipulation.
Yes.
For Ogas, you must pay a $10 deposit per person when making the reservation.
Okay.
for savvies, you need to prepay for the Sabre while making the reservation. So you have to pay $200, aka $199.99. If you fail to show up, you lose your deposit.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you don't show up for your reservation, I mean, OGAs, it's $10 per person. So if you're six people, you're losing $60. Savvies, you're losing the full $200 plus tax. So then this is the general reservation system for Galaxy's Edge. Using the app, so you have to get into the park.
But only, okay, so for OGAs and Savvies, you don't have to be in the park.
No, you can do that from home starting 7 a.m.
If you don't want to do that and you just want to, like, go on Millennium Falcon, pew, pew, pew.
Yes.
That's what this is.
Yeah, that's what this is.
Got it. Okay, cool.
You just want to do your shopping. So, reservation system for Galaxy's Edge. So, using the app, once you get into the park, you can join the virtual line. And they put you into a boarding group, and then the app will let you know when you can get into the park. So, they're like, okay, boarding group 25 is now able to enter Galaxy's Edge.
Okay.
You can also check the hub, and they will be displaying which group is going up next.
Okay.
So, if your phone doesn't work for some reason, just go to the hub and
Because it got wet on Splash Mountain?
Exactly. Or, like, you ran out of batteries. Just go hang out by the hub.
No, if you ran out of batteries, you should check out our friend Tiffany Mink's video about the charging rods.
That is true. Everyone I know has that.
I actually want to get it now because I thought it was, like, you just buy it once. I'm like, I'm not going to pay.
You can do it anywhere that has it, too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, airports and other
funerals.
Places. Bar mitzvahs.
Birthdays.
Life Day celebrations.
Oh, cantinas. By the name of Olga. Yes.
Also, Olga's cantina.
Olga? My friend Olga?
It's his ex-wife.
Oh.
She got the other cantina in the settlement.
You know what? You got to do what you got to do, like Jack Donaghy. You taught your dog to defecate in a box? Yeah, but I want that box.
Just recording me laughing. I like you, like, held it over, so you're like, she can laugh.
I love the sound of your laughter. Your laughter is what I'm after. You're the reason the monorail...
I'm leaving all the monorail stuff in.
We're good. Like, the reason that we started this podcast was because I just love making you laugh so much.
And it's very easy for you to do. Not for other people, but for you.
Really?
No, people always think, like, oh, it's easy to make me laugh. I'm like, no, I don't laugh at most people.
Watch this. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Boba.
Boba who?
Suck it, Dale.
I knew that was coming, and I still laugh. I still loved it.
Our friend met up with us. My friend Valerie met up with us and was, like, sitting with us, and we're talking. She's like, it's like I'm listening to the podcast.
It's true.
I'm like, yeah. Yeah. That's what we're going for.
Just casually hanging out with us.
Just hanging out with Jasmine and Michelle. Sorry, the Coca-Cola is hitting me.
And you had a cupcake, too.
Shut up.
That was a mistake.
For you, not for me.
I didn't have a cupcake bomb, so you can't get me in trouble.
I had a cupcake mom, and it was delicious.
So once your group is called, you have 2 hours to enter the land.
So in case you are, for example, mm-hmm. watching Mickey and the Magical
yes.
Map.
Or you have a fast pass, or you're in the middle of your lunch, or you have a reservation. If you have, so this is a nice loophole. Not a loophole, but like a nice little thing. So a lot of people are saying, oh, if I make a reservation to Savvies, what if I don't get a reservation for the land? If you have a reservation into OGAs or Savvies, you have automatic entry for 1 hour before your reservation for you and your party.
Oh.
Yeah. So Savvies, you can only, it's I think only you and two other people can go in now. But
so it's three altogether or two altogether?
Three altogether.
Oh, so you, me, and Mr. Dale.
Yeah, but Dale will be building his own.
All right.
So that's a whole separate one.
I just like group things. Okay.
But then, if we wanted to bring three other people with us, we could. And they just couldn't come into Savvies with us, but they could come in for the reservation.
Oh.
Yeah, because they want those people in. They want to get the people in the Galaxy's Edge.
Get us in there.
So I saved the best bit of news for last,
Ooh,
Michelle.
Is it Beauty and the Beast related?
It is not Beauty and the Beast related.
Oh, I'm suddenly less interested, but you still have my attention.
You do not have it as profoundly as you did before, but
no,
you still have it.
You still have it.
Soarin' Over California has extended its run at DCA and will be shown until August 31st.
Boo! boo, 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 boo.
Every Thursday night, the ride will operate for one extra hour after closing for pass holders until July 31st.
That's awesome!
Yeah, so if we wanted to come, you know, after hours, just get on the ride. Like,
get a little Soarin'.
Just go on an extra bit of Soarin'. Speaking of Soarin', yep. So we mentioned it at the top of this episode.
Yes.
This week's topic is Soarin'. Soarin' over California, specifically. Sorry, Soarin' over the world. So if you were worried about... She's making the porg talk into the microphone, making her words.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
So if you were worried about not getting to see Soarin' by the end of June, congratulations, it's going to be open till August 31st. I hope that they extend it indefinitely.
I think they should just... it just makes more sense to have... This is Disney's California adventure.
Yes.
Make this Soarin' over California.
Yes.
Epcot is about the world. Make it Soarin' over the world.
And I think they're going to show Soarin' over the world when they open it in Tokyo Disney. Disney Sea. I think that's going to be Soarin' over the world. And then I think there's one other one. I think the one in Shanghai is Soarin' over the world. So you have three locations you can see one movie. Why not have one where you can see something different?
I agree.
Yeah. Michelle agrees heartily.
Make it so.
And it has happened now.
Oh! And now it is permanently Soarin' over California. My mom likes it too. My mom is like the biggest Soarin' fangirl. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to get her the little... I think I want to get her like a little flight attendant costume. Mm-hmm. She gets so excited to see Patrick Warburton. She's like, and he's just so handsome. I mean, it is like, it's a joy. When I'm excited for everyone to become at the age where making your parents happy at Disneyland is like the fun thing to do instead of them, because it is such a gem. My mom gets so excited. It's great.
I do want to bring my parents to the park. My dad hasn't been my entire time I've been alive. I've never been with my dad to Disneyland.
What?
He hasn't been since probably the early 1980s. That's why I want someone to take him here.
Well, I'll make it so.
You will make it so.
Anyway, sorry.
Yes.
Soarin'. It's coming. It's staying. I love it. It's great.
So segue into my part of the podcast, which is about Soarin' over California specifically. Sorry, Soarin' over the world. So originally it was going to be named Ultra Flight.
Boo, 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 boo.
I haven't seen it. Somebody said there's references, like somewhere they painted it says Ultra Flight on one of like the towers.
Ooh, I'm gonna ask.
You know, look for that. Maybe they painted over it, I don't know. But at one point it said Ultra Flight. The design for the ride came from Mark Sumner using an Erector set. And he just, like, he had the idea. So originally they were going to build the ride where it was, like, what do they call it? Like, a hangar. Have you ever been to a dry cleaner?
Yeah.
So they were going to build it like that, and you're going to, like, go over everything, but I guess that was too expensive.
Well, yeah, because it would have to be so big.
Yeah, it would have to be huge. It would have to be like Harry Potter. Do you know Harry Potter, just side note, the screens follow you?
No.
So what you do, so I thought, like, the screens were just really big. So basically there's a series of rotating screens, and, like, your car has its own little screen, and then it just follows you as it's moving down the track.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Mind blown. Yeah. Fun fact.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I see you, Universal.
That's why you don't see people to the sides of you. Because I thought, oh, you're just entering, like, a huge screen or something. No.
That's what I thought.
Personal pan screen. Yeah.
Like a personal pan pizza.
Yep, but a screen.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So originally they were going to do that conveyor belt system. Not conveyor belt.
Dry cleaner.
Dry cleaning system. And then Mark Sumner was like, he thought of the Erector set thing so you can get a lot of people up and down without using a ton of space. Because in California, we don't got a lot of space here.
No.
The parks are just like, you have 10 by 10 feet. Build a roller coaster. Enjoy.
It's funny because it's true.
It is true. The ride structure contains 1 million pounds of steel.
Wow.
Yes. So, put that in your back pocket.
I know one fact about Soarin'.
What is it?
I want to see if you say it first.
Okay.
I don't want to steal your thunder. This might be your big finish.
This is true.
Monorail.
Soarin' is projected on an 80-foot concave, 180-degree dome screen. Yeah.
That's really big.
That's a very big screen. That's 8 stories tall.
Oh, my God. Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry. But that's way bigger than I thought.
So it's an 8 stories tall screen. So have fun with that. So that's why I always freak out if I'm on the very top of the ride, because I'm just like, I mean, not quite 8 stories, but like 7 stories. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Up in the sky. So now we're going from outside to inside. So if it sounds different, that's why.
We're going to go into the hangar. which is definitely a design choice.
It is a design choice, the hanger.
Yes.
To make it look like a hanger.
Yes. I personally like the idea of, like, boarding a flight. Mm-hmm. I love, like, I applied to be a flight attendant. Mm-hmm. I was rejected, but I applied.
You weren't rejected. They were like, you're too good to be here.
They were like, you fly on your own wings. You don't, where we're flying, you don't need a plane.
Then they did On the Wings of Love, but an interpretive dance of it.
Do you know that I sang On the Wings of Love as a Tinkerbell, like, when I used to teach ballet class, and I had all these little girls, and they were little fairies, too, and I sang, and we danced around to On the Wings of Love, and it was the cutest thing. I'll have to find a video of it.
Were you an adult?
Yeah. I was their teacher.
Oh, okay.
I was their ballet teacher.
I don't know, Michelle. All your friends are 6 years old.
How dare you? You are 8 and a half.
Nine on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if you can hear the soundtracks. All the soundtracks on here come from different movie soundtracks.
Like The Rocketeer?
Yes.
And others.
Apollo 13.
Oh.
Yeah. Just fun facts. Deep cut. And that just was a random fact. Guest star lifted 40 feet into the air for the ride, which every time I do that, I'm just like, okay, and here we go now.
And we're up.
With the thing holding us up. the film was shot in 4K back in the late 90s, early 2000s. 4K hasn't really come into fashion until recently.
Uh-huh.
So it was, it's a 4K digital film.
That's
can
cool.
show on your current TV. Which now that's not as impressive as it was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's just like, my phone is 4K. I can shoot on my iPhone.
Really?
Yeah, iPhones are 4K, yeah.
Guys, I learned so much from this podcast.
It took 2 years to film the almost 5-minute video.
Wow.
Now, it wasn't, like, continuous. It was, to get, permits and stuff. But,
sure.
It took 2 years. Just, it was like Apocalypse Now, and they just were...
Hey, that's our friend Val. Hi. Val, come say hi. Oh, you're going on a fast pass. Never mind. Hey, this is our friend Val. Hi. Say hi, Val.
Oh, hi, Val.
And everyone should go follow her Instagram, which is Kingdom Nommies. She's in the fast pass line, so she's like, I got places to go. Get out of here.
I'm going to go on the ride in 5 minutes. You guys enjoy waiting another 30. We talked about her earlier, and now she's on the podcast.
Ta-da!
The score was written by Jerry Goldsmith, whose father was a pilot. And I don't know. No, I read the story. I don't know how true this is, but I think let's just pretend it's true because it's a lovely story.
Let's go for it.
So he was in tears after watching the movie because his father was a pilot, and he said, oh, Michelle and I are going to cry. Now we're crying at Disneyland.
Oh, tell me.
And he said, I love this movie so much. I want to be a part. I'm misquoting now. I want to be a part of this project so bad I would even score this for free. Because he just, really, that's why there's, like, such great crescendos. And I think through every version of Soarin', they've kept his soundtrack.
Oh.
Yeah. But yeah, I just imagine, like, him coming down and he's just crying like Michelle and I are right now.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That's, like, my favorite part of Disney is, like, the family lineage through it. I mean, and not just Imagineers and creators for the company, but, like...
It means something.
It means something. Like... My mom, when she first came to this country, one of the first things she did was go to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And the first thing
my parents did too when they came back from Iran. Yeah, one of the first things they did when they came to California was come to Disneyland.
I think, and like, and then they brought you, and my parents brought me, and now we're like doing this. Oh, Jasmine's having feelings.
I got sunscreen in my eye.
Oh, never mind.
I teared up, and then I got sunscreen in my eye.
Oh, I thought she was having emotions.
I mean, I am. Will they get us more listeners?
Oh my gosh. So that's wonderful.
Yeah. So I just thought that was a really beautiful story. It is an opening day attraction at DCA, and it opened February 8th, 2001. You know what else opened that same day?
Superstar Limo! Beep, 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 beep!
And by the way, so we're going to record my segment, then we're going to go on the ride, then we're going to talk about it. Then we're going to go on PhilharMagic, and then talk about PhilharMagic, then go on the ride, then talk about it. So you'll get our review.
We have a bit of a formula.
We have a structure that Jasmine dreamed up when she was supposed to be doing other things.
Like surgery.
I mean, I am a world famous teddy bear surgeon.
Oh, do you know what today is?
National Teddy Bear Day?
No, I thought that you would know, because you and I are big Miss Piggy fans.
Oh, it's the 40th anniversary of
the Muppet movie. Yeah. Is that the one where they're on the bikes?
No, I think that's Muppets Take Manhattan.
No, it's not.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, not to be so rude.
And we talked about this before, too.
We did?
Yeah, I think we had a conversation where you're like, no, it's not. I remember this. We had a conversation where you're like.
Because Muppets Take Manhattan is the one where she's on roller skates with Gregory Hines.
And he steals her underwear.
No.
No, he steals her purse.
Someone steals his
purse. And the underwear is in the purse. And he's like, what?
Yeah.
I remember that. As a kid, that stuck out to me.
And Gregory Hines had beautiful legs.
Yes, and that was the entire movie.
Yep.
Just end of movie. Muppet. So there's Muppet Movie, which is that the road trip one?
Moving right along.
Yeah. Muppet Caper is the one where it's like they live in London.
I haven't seen that one.
That's one of my favorite ones. That's the one where like Miss Piggy is like a nobody fashion designer, and then they like need her to like, the like villains trick her into doing something, and she's like the head model. Yeah, spoiler, sorry.
Oh, well, I mean, she would be the head model.
Yeah, because there's Muppet Movie, Muppet Caper, Muppet Take Manhattan, and then is there one other, of the early ones, is there one other one?
Muppet Treasure Island?
No, that's not an early one, though.
Muppet Incarceration?
So one of them has the Muppets riding the bicycles.
It has to be this one, then, right?
But where did they ride them, though?
In the park?
Yeah, I know, but that's why I thought it was Central Park. I don't know. Well, we could look it up, but I'm too lazy.
In Muppets Take Manhattan, it was like the demo for the Muppet Babies TV show.
Yeah, it's going to be... Oh, I can't sing that. But yeah, they have the Muppet Baby part.
Ba, ba, ba.
And then Rizzo is introduced, and he has a pizza place.
He is... No, he works at a diner with Jenny and Jenny's dad.
Oh, I'm thinking of Pizza Rizzo's.
Yeah, which I can't wait to go to. I've heard such things about it.
I've heard things as well.
Yeah, I want to go.
I do want to go to the upstairs room because it's...
There's a disco ball.
Yeah, there's like a special like back stage dining room, and you're from New York, so you would, I feel like people who are from New York like it more.
It feels
like every Italian eatery, that like special like events room in the back.
sure Jan. Sure.
No, you don't, Oprah. So the film lasts almost 5 minutes. The scenes include Golden Gate Bridge, Lake Tahoe, Yosemite Falls, PGA West Palmer Course featuring Disney Daddy shooting the golf ball.
He's so amazing.
He can shoot a golf ball like 1,000 feet in the air.
And he's like the best. Also, he's really good at saying hello.
He is really good at saying hello.
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 Hello, I'm Michael Eisner. Do you know that his middle name starts with a D?
Is it Daddy?
Yes. Michael Daddy Eisner.
Did you know that while he was shooting that golf ball, he signed 4 deals?
Really?
No.
Oh. I'm like, he's so amazing.
He's so amazing.
I have a super corporate crush on him.
You do. You really, I mean, don't we all?
Yeah.
You're only human, Michelle.
That's right.
You're only a human being.
I'm just a girl.
And then this whole thing ends with Disneyland during Christmas time, which I always thought it was funny that they shot it during Christmas time. And you see the Christmas parade going on. Because you're like, that puts it in a very specific time.
But you know what? I don't care. I love it so much.
I question nothing.
Yeah. I love Soarin' Over California so much.
It is such a good ride.
Yeah, truly.
I mean, we've been on it. Spoilers.
Yes. I'm trying to think of what was the... Okay. Do you have more facts about it?
Oh, I do have a few more facts. I'm almost done.
Sorry. I jumped the gun. I'm so excited to tell you my fact.
Some of the scenes were staged. Obviously, it's a movie. Like, you know...
Yeah.
They didn't, like, just happen to just be, like, one time going over the ocean and, like, there's surfers down here. Let's capture them.
How crazy.
Disney planned to people fishing, surfers, snowboarders, etc. to create the perfect shot. It often took hours to film... It often took hours to film down because that's the end of the sentence. They would have to, you know, go shoot it, go around again, go shoot it again, go shoot it again. They were obviously like real fisher people, real surfers.
Right.
But like they had to like tell them like, can you just sit here for an hour? Like,
yeah. To be on a Disney ride, yes. To be immortalized? Okay.
Yeah. Do you need me for 10 years?
Yeah.
Need my firstborn? Okay. Where was I? Oh, scents are famously used as part of this attraction, making it 4D. Oh, I guess it's 3D because there's not 3D.
Well, there's seeing. Well, if you taste it, if your mouth is open, then that's 4.
You can definitely taste it.
Yeah. So let's say it's 4D.
4 dimensions. So the scents are orange, pine, and ocean. So they only use 3.
Oh, I didn't know there was ocean.
Yeah, ocean, when you're in the ocean. It's like salt water. Random fact, the LA traffic section was originally just supposed to be a test shot. That's why it doesn't really fit in with the rest of the movie.
No, but I love it. That's so funny because my mom and I were talking about that today. It's one of my favorite shots.
2?
2. Thank you. We are walking into our, what would you call this, like our terminal?
Yeah.
We're walking into our terminal.
Patrick Warburton section.
Yes. The Kronk section.
It took a long time to get permission to film in certain locations. It took several months for Yosemite, and it took a full year to gain permission to film over Monterey and Point Lobos. All areas are protected, and Disney had to ensure that the wildlife would not be disturbed.
Well, now
it took a year to get a filming permit.
Now, how did they film it? Was it helicopter? Was it drone?
Helicopter. I don't think
drones were around at that time.
They probably existed, but they were not in fashion. No, it's all helicopter shots.
Yeah, so like, how on earth would a helicopter bother a turtle?
Because they get pretty low over the ocean. You have to get, anywhere you film, you have to get a permit. Like, it's all protected airspace. So you have to, like, go and, like, connect with the government. It's all government stuff. And we know, you know, famously how, like, efficient, like, that tends to work.
The government is great. I love them. They are my dad. I don't want to get arrested. Tell the government.
It's wonderful. It's so efficient. Getting permits for things.
The government is beautiful. It's enchanting.
But yeah, could you imagine, like, for one, and it's Disney trying to get a permit for one year.
Right, it's not like you and me.
Yeah, me and Michelle, that would just be, like, ha 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 ha. No one had shot over Yosemite since the mid-1900s, so, like, since, I think, Eisenhower was president.
What?
Yeah, so they were just like, oh, hello, 50 years later, we would like to go shoot your waterfall now in this helicopter, can we please do so? And, like, nope, hold, please.
Please hold.
Please hold, I'll call you back.
And Disney was, and Mickey Mouse was like...
Michael Eisner's like, nobody puts me on hold.
Nobody puts Michael in the corner.
And he's like, okay, I'll wait. 1 year. So Patrick Warburton, who we've mentioned before.
Yes.
He is the host of the show, and he is also known for doing the voice of G242 in Star Tours.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
In the queue.
In the queue. He was originally supposed to be, instead of... C-3PO, they were going to have another droid, but then they decided, I forget the name of that droid, but they scrapped him.
Sean.
Was it Sean?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you were just saying Sean.
Oh, no, I was.
Okay.
It's not for real.
Oh, okay.
We lied to each other so much.
You're just very convincing. You're a good actor.
Thank you.
So he was, but then they were like, oh, he was supposed to be like a meathead type guy, and so they decided to go C-3PO, because like, people know him, much to Michelle's chagrin.
Ugh.
And my last fact is Soarin' Over the World replaced Soarin' Over California in 2016.
You didn't say my fun fact.
What was your fun fact?
Okay, so my fun fact is that Soarin' in California is 22 mm-hmm. feet underground.
Oh.
The reason is because the dome was so big mm-hmm. that they didn't want it to be like, so they didn't
eight
want...
8 stories tall.
Yeah, they didn't want eight stories in the air. So they put a bunch of stories underground.
That's why we're going underground, like we're going on a downward slope right now.
Right, exactly. And that's why when you come out, I feel like you don't notice it that much coming in, but going out, you have to walk up that big old ramp.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that is.
Oh, fun fact. Do you have any questions, Michelle?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
What is your favorite part of Soarin'?
Maybe the orange fields, the orange groves, or Disneyland at the end.
But the orange groves.
Yeah, but then the fireworks at the end kind of scare me.
They're gonna say fire.
Yeah, that fire is my favorite.
The wildfire.
I always liked when I was younger. We would go past the surfers and you pretend to like kick their heads. Yeah. Like,
and oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. So how do you pick a favorite part of Soarin'?
I mean, you could no sooner pick a star in the sky.
Oh, what's your favorite part?
I love the skier who falls.
Yes.
I'm always like, tee-hee. I love Disney Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, okay, this is going to be sentimental nonsense, so mm-hmm. put on your nonsense boots.
Oh, I was buckling a seatbelt.
Oh, buckle your seatbelt. Here comes sentimental nonsense. So when I used to fly from New York to California, we would always fly in at night. Mm-hmm. And I remember as a kid being so excited to see my cousins and my family and going over, like, I didn't know what exchange that was, mm-hmm. but it was the 110. So to see that again as mm-hmm. an adult, I get that excited feeling like I'm going to California.
You're landing.
And I'm going to Disneyland and other things.
I just love that as you're coming, it's like traffic.
Yeah, well, it's accurate.
It's accurate. Traffic is accurate.
Accurate.
If it was all open, you'd be like, this isn't real. But when you see the traffic, you're like,
this is authentic.
Real. This is authentic.
Yeah.
They're all going to Dodger Stadium.
Whee!
Do you have any other questions, Michelle?
That
I probably won't know the answer to, but I'll make it up.
How are you?
I'm okay. My feet hurt a little bit.
Really? Mine too.
Yeah, I was here yesterday, though.
Oh, where?
I was in Galaxy's Edge.
And what were you doing, Jasmine?
Drinking blue milk.
Yeah.
They had, like, a jug of it. Okay, so first of all, a little Galaxy's Edge. This is a mid-podcast break. Galaxy's Edge review.
Oh, let's pretend it's a commercial.
Oh, news break. Commercial. Now for a word for our sponsors. Galaxy's Edge, report. So now they sell a blue milk jug, and I bought it, and I drank it.
Yeah. Now, is your pee just green?
Yes, and it also smells, sometimes when I sweat, it smells like blue milk. Also, they now have metal forks inside Docking Bay 7.
But are they're not the cool sporks?
No, not the cool
sporks.
Have
they listened to our idea to sell the sporks?
No, and I told the people who I was with about that idea, and they all said I would have bought one.
See, I would have bought some sporks. Yes. I would have bought, like I said, I would have bought them and used them at my job, which I have now.
And I went with really, like, good, honest people, and they were saying, like, I was telling them how people, like, would steal, like, the sporks and the bowls. And they're like, who would want to steal that? I'm like, evil people. People who can't have nice things. That's who stole it.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else did I bought more stuff.
What did you buy?
I did a Create Your Own Droid because we got in a little late, so I didn't get to go to Savvy's this time. I will one day. Dale and I will go. I built my own
you
droid.
You guys won't take me, but you'll go.
Yeah, we'll go together. We'll just be like, you'll meet, like, you'll just run into us at Disneyland and we'll be like, oh, this is awkward.
You're like, Dale, you told me you were homesick. And he would be like, you told me, you told me you were at work. Like, oh, boy.
Oh, boy. And I would just be like, I'm going to moonwalk out of here. Oh, we're almost to the final part of the line. So why don't we wrap up right now? Because we're about to get into the spiel.
Yeah, into Patrick Warburton.
So we will come back to you as soon as we go on the ride.
Okay, so we'll see you real soon. It'll only seem like a second to you.
Yeah.
Two. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Hello.
So, Michelle, what did you think about Soarin'?
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. I love... There's nothing about Soarin' Over California that I do not like. Fact.
I forgot about the spectacle of it all, that it's so, like, because it's real and, like, everything they filmed is real. I was telling Michelle this one fact that... Oh, thank you. That it's the only CGI that I know for sure is the hang glider person. And Michelle was like, nuh-uh. I told her that in the ride. She's like, nuh-uh.
No, it looks... I don't know. Sometimes I think, like, when you watch CGI, it's like, if you watch so much of it, you kind of just, like, get immune to it. So I don't believe her, but she says it's CGI. I'm like, sure.
But I forgot the sheer spectacle of it all, that, like, you're going over all these sites, and they just look so amazing, and
they
you're tilting and turning.
Something.
And the film just looks, oh, it's not film, it's 4K. Looks so good. And then I was also happy that Michelle made friends in line, because she told, like, five new people about the podcast, so.
Yeah, I will good job, bust Michelle. For this podcast.
But yeah, it's just, like, it was just, the scents were amazing.
Oh, the scents were so much better than, like, dirt from Africa. I'm like, really? These are the scents you went with, Disney?
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's the orange you could smell, and it was, I feel like they're better about filtering them out, or maybe we were just at the edge, so it just kind of, like,
oh, and the pine, I love the pine.
Yeah, the pine, I think they did twice, I think.
Yeah.
They use the same ones a couple different times. That's why, because I'm like, I feel like there's more than three scent times, but they just, I guess if you did more than three, it would probably just smell like a fart, like,
yeah.
A fragrant
like
fart.
Like in Journey to Imagination, where Figment turns into a skunk and then it stinks, and you're just like, oh god.
That's in John Waters' movie. He has smelling cards for one of his movies, and one of the smells is like, they're all like mostly bad smells.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's roses and it's all bad smells.
One and done.
I love it. I hope they keep it this version around forever.
I agree.
It's so nice.
You made a great point about it being in so many different locations that's around the world, so you might as well. Although, if they did one, Monorail.
It's funny, the monorail is so prevalent in DCA, but it doesn't stop in DCA.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh.
It should. But whatever. Here we are. Yeah. I feel like they should do one for Tokyo, because Japan's such a beautiful country.
Oh, I've film never one. Been. I was like, they are building one.
No, no, but a film. Yeah. Maybe they are. Maybe they have. Have they said if it's around the world or
it's
about
all,
Japan?
It's all around the world. No. It would be nice they won't do it, but if for every location they could just film.
Yeah, but what are they going to film in Orlando?
They could film swamps and gators.
I think it would be like Soarin' over the East Coast.
Yeah, that could be fun.
That would be cool. Like, and instead... Okay.
They can have Soarin' over the world, and then Tokyo can have just
Japan,
and then maybe like a little some surrounding Asian countries,
like, well, just Hong Kong,
and then them and Shanghai can share.
No, Shanghai could have like mainland China.
Oh, yeah.
And Hong Kong. No, mainland China. Hong Kong could have Hong Kong, and just make,
I guess,
the scenes longer.
If California can have one just to itself, Japan could have one just to itself too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I would watch it. And they can go over Hello Kitty Land to be like, oh, don't look at them. This is a competitor.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's on my list to do when
my coworker just got back from Tokyo, and he went there. And he sent me picture or videos, and I haven't gotten to watch them yet because you can only watch them at our work. So
oh my gosh.
I have to go watch them.
I want to pull out my hair. That sounds so adorable. Okay. What? Any other thoughts about?
I just 10 out of 10 would recommend.
Yep.
It was nice seeing. You could feel Michael Eisner's presence in
you
it.
You could.
It was palpable.
Oh, tell the fact that you told me.
Oh, so I don't know. I think this is true. I've heard people say this, that if you go with like a either if it had a low capacity, like not a lot of people were going on it, or you were a part of a VIP tour, the cast member sitting next to you during the golf ball scene would throw up one up in the air, catch it, and then hand it and be like, I caught the golf ball.
Oh my God. I love that. I love that. I would die. And there's a hidden Mickey. There's a bunch of hidden Mickeys. I've seen none of them.
No.
No, I've seen the fireworks one, but the there's a hidden Mickey on the golf ball.
Oh yeah. I haven't seen it. So we were sitting all the way to the far left in the middle row.
Left, stage right.
Yes. And we were in the Yosemite scene. You can see people climbing up the mountain, the rock face, and we had never noticed that before because usually you're not to the far extreme left. Some children got very excited.
And Loki
there.
Just came out. Thor.
Oh. Oh, see the people you hear screaming.
Can you hear the people screaming? They're screaming.
Can you hear the people screaming?
I was about to say Arendelle. Where do they live? Asgard.
Yeah, they live in Arendelle. It's Elsa and Anna.
Loki's doing a little twirl. I'm living for it.
Spider-Man passed by us earlier, and Michelle was like, hey, Peter. And he said, hey. And I said, Michelle, that's his secret identity.
Sorry.
He's just a boy.
He's just a boy.
So, yeah, now we're just doing DCA comedy. But commentary.
No, you were right the first time.
I was right. So next we're going to go on PhilharMagic, and then we're going to do a quick review after. Because we have to go to a party for my cousin tonight. But so, Michelle, would you like to tell us about the newly opened Mickey's PhilharMagic?
Thank you, Jasmine.
Yeah.
So Mickey's PhilharMagic is a musical. It's a musical medley 3D show that has opened originally in Magic Kingdom Park in Orlando, also known as the Paris of the South.
Mm-hmm.
It is located in Orlando, Hong Kong Disneyland, Tokyo Disneyland, Disneyland Paris, and now Disney's California Adventure. So it's in every single Magic Kingdom except here in Disneyland. It's at California Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you could say it's at every single Disney location. So yeah, in Orlando, it is one of my very favorite things in the park because, well, there's a Beauty and the Beast section, but also I just love Disney music. So like the fact that it's attraction built about some Disney music is amazing.
12 minutes of sheer Michelle happiness.
It's true. All right, ready to hear some interesting facts?
In her pretty penmanship.
Oh, thank you. I definitely just didn't do these 2 seconds ago before we started recording. So most of Donald's voice is actually his original voice actor, Clarence Nash. There are a few things done by his new voice actor, like when he hums Be Our Guest. That's his new person. But most of the lines are OG Donald, which is pretty interesting.
Do you want to hear a fact I learned about Clarence Nash?
Yes.
So when he originally, now I'm paraphrasing this because I'm kind of forgetting some of it, but you know, it was mostly true.
Okay.
So he went to go audition for just a voiceover actor for Disney, for Walt Disney himself. And he could just do a random duck voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that he did the voice, and I feel like they kind of had a character in mind, but they kind of created the character around the voice he could do.
Yeah, I think I have heard that. And that's the fun thing about like the being creative and the creative process is sometimes it's like, for example, like Chris Sanders, like Lilo and Stitch is his baby. It was his idea. He drew Stitch when he was in the 6th or 7th grade. Like that is his. But then you get to other pieces that are like, I have this piece and the voice actor brings this piece and the animator brings this piece and the director, and then you have this beautiful amalgamation of like
of meat.
So you have a hot dog of a character. Hot dog. The director of PhilharMagic also directed one of my favorite Disney movies.
Little Mermaid.
How dare you? Oliver and Company, which came out before Little Mermaid, which they actually anticipated to be a big, huge hit. And it was like fairly successful. Mm-hmm. But then Mermaid came and blew it out of the water.
Oh.
You got it?
I got it.
I got it. The Mermaid.
I got it. Why should I worry? Why should I care?
Perfect isn't easy. But it's me. His name is George Scribner.
Son of Michael Eisner. No kidding.
No, Scribner. So as Jasmine mentioned before, PhilharMagic is a 12-minute adventure through magical, musical, Disney memories. Some of those include Beauty and the Beast, Peter Pan, Fantasia, The Little Mermaid, and others.
I couldn't open my mouth any wider, so I'm glad that you stopped at that last one. You're like, I have nowhere to go from here.
In the queue, both in Orlando and...
The Paris of the South.
And DC. Monorail. Oh, Monorail Blue, my favorite.
How do you know it's blue?
Because it's...
The color is blue?
Yeah.
I couldn't see it, so...
Oh, yeah. I was like, because it's painted that color?
I just saw Mickey.
Oh, I thought you were making a joke. Like, oh, how do you know it's blue? It could be having a great day.
Like, well, okay. I didn't know if, like, that was its name. Like, oh, that's Monorail Blue and that's Monorail Orange, because they all just look the same to me.
Oh, no. So, like, in Orlando, you mm-hmm. have stripes, and that's mm-hmm. what you call the monorail. Mm-hmm. So, like, Monorail Blue, Monorail Orange, Monorail mm-hmm. Red or whatever, mm-hmm. Monorail Purple, Pink, etc.
Aquamarine.
Aquamarine. Puce. Monorail Puce.
That's my favorite color, puce. Chartreuse and puce.
Monorail Periwinkle minus 10. That's when you go to like Home Depot and you're like, I want my wall to be periwinkle, but not quite so periwinkle. So you like, they can lighten it for you. Mm-hmm. You know, paint color. This is paint color comedy, folks.
Michelle recently painted a house.
It was awful. I'm thankful for my parents. Hi, parents. Thank mm-hmm. you for both listening and helping me paint. Mm-hmm. So in the queue, there are these punny posters that, hence the name of this section, punny posters, that show some of the acts that are coming through. So there's Hades singing torch songs.
Ba-da-bum.
There's Genie singing the blues.
Ba-da-bum.
It's Ariel's chorale group.
Ba-da-bum.
That one's a must see.
That's true. That's what it says on the bottom of the poster.
S-E-A, just to be perfectly clear. This is when they made this film back in 2000, like in the late 90s, early 2000s, it was the largest 3D environment that Disney Animation has ever made, and Agrabah was the largest like actual place that they had made. Now we've got like Arendelle, mm-hmm. Zootopia, Chicken Little,
Hawaii.
What?
Moana.
Oh, Moana. Yeah. I'm like, Hawaii? Anyway, yeah. So that was pretty dope. It originally opened on October 3rd, 2003, just after I graduated from high school.
Ooh.
Yep. I had just moved to Florida. I had just become a cast member for the first time. And I was like, let's go to Orlando and use some of these perks.
So you graduated 2003?
That is correct.
I graduated 2004.
Are you carbon dating me?
Yes, I am.
I'm an old lady. No, it's okay.
You were smart because your birthday is September, so you were like one of the smart kids who's like, I'm graduating when I'm 17.
Yeah, and I skipped a grade. I used to be really smart. I don't know what the hell happened.
So you graduated when you were 16?
No, I graduated when I was 17, but I started in, so I'm an only child.
So they were going to do like you.
They put me in pre-K.
Yes.
Because I wasn't like socialized. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went to preschool, but they were very concerned. So they put me in pre-K and then they were like, just kidding. Okay. So I did my first half of my year in pre-K. Then I moved up to kindergarten. Then the next year they put me in pre-first. So I spent a fourth of the year in pre-first and then I went to first. So it was... Can I just tell you, if you get the option to move your kid that little into a new grade, don't. It'll mess up your kid because I still, to this day, like it took me years to figure out fractions because I didn't get the foundation of, I don't know how this turned into an educational lecture, but whatever.
Michelle's insecurities about fractions.
Yeah, now I get them. 2/4 of the way. Shoot, that's 1/2. Dang it. My jokes don't make dollars or cents.
But they make pennies.
So the film took about 3 years to make and had some of the original animators come back and reprise their roles. Most notably, I think, is Glenn Keane, who animated Ariel and basically used this opportunity to test to see if his animation could, what it would look like in 3D, mm-hmm. and because it looks great, he then was like, cool, I can now use this to do Rapunzel, because if you don't know, Rapunzel was...
Has hair.
Rapunzel has hair. She lets it down. Mm-hmm. It originally was going to be directed by Glenn Keane, and basically he based it off his daughter Claire Keene, who is an illustrator as well, and
has magical hair.
She does have magic hair that glows when she sings. If you watch Tangled, all of the paintings that Rapunzel draws, those are Claire Keene's drawings. So it's Glenn Keane drew Rapunzel, and Rapunzel paints like Claire.
Was she keen?
She was keen on the project. You're fired.
It was very punny.
So the sad news is this was Jerry Orbach's final performance as Lumiere. Mm-hmm. He passed away in 2004. Mm-hmm. I remember I was at a Disney game night and someone told me, and my heart literally shattered. Mm-hmm. I was so sad because I love him from Law and Order, but mostly from Beauty and the Beast. And he was always so like proud of the movie, and he was always like...
He's a Broadway guy.
Yeah, he's a Broadway... He's like such a beautiful singer. Mm-hmm. If you... there's a song from... Once Upon a Mattress in a Little While that he sings at a live cabaret recording. Mm-hmm. And it's, I have it on my iPhone. It is so lovely. He's just a gem. They don't make them like that anymore.
And we will go visit his grave in New York City.
And I will write him a lovely thank you letter and tape a little Lumiere. And I'll say thank you for making me feel like your guest.
I used to leave flowers on it wasn't even Jane Mansfield's grave. It was her cenotaph, which is like... It's like a grave marker, but they're not actually buried there because it's in Hollywood. Because she's in Pennsylvania. So yeah, I used to go leave flowers there.
Sometimes it's just nice to, you just want to put gratefulness out into the universe. Like when I went to Walt Disney's grave mausoleum location, it was interesting because there were so many letters from different people in different languages and little Mickey Mouses. And it's like Tom Hanks's daughter said it best. Tom Hanks and his daughter, who's like about 30, they were watching Fantasmic, and at the end of the boat, it's Buzz, Woody, Jesse, Monorail.
Monorail
orange.
Yellow. Oh, I thought that was yellow.
No, that's a sticker. That's
Oh.
I'm teaching her. But so Tom Hanks's daughter started crying, and he's like, "What is happening to you?" Mm-hmm. And she's like, "You will always live on. You will all. So long as there's Disneyland, Woody will say goodnight to kids. Woody will always be around, and that's so like powerful and magical and just.
But yeah, people like if you're famous, like usually like 100 years after you die, like nobody knows who you are.
Right.
But like if you were like in movies, like there are people who still visit like old movie stars' graves or like old like kings and queens. And,
I'll
like,
go to Vivian Leigh's grave and be like, "Hey, thanks for teaching me to be a sassy lady."
Although she doesn't have a grave, her ashes were spread over her house that she lived, the last house she lived in, or her summer house or something like that. Don't ask me how I know where all these famous. It's because I watch a lot of videos on this.
What about Clark Gable? Where's he?
Clark Gable is, I think, in Hollywood forever.
Let's go.
He has a huge grave, I believe.
You know, so my mom thought he was like European or something.
No, he's American.
He's from Michigan.
He's like all American.
Yeah. But he looks so exotic, doesn't he?
He does, especially for back then.
Yeah, it's like when I watch Gone with the Wind, I'm like, what the heck nationality is this guy?
I just like that everyone's Southern and Rhett Butler, the most Southern person's like, I'm Rhett Butler.
He's so romantic.
Shall we go on PhilharMagic now?
Let's go. Now, you've never been.
No.
I've been in Florida.
Yes. Paris of the South.
The Paris of
the South.
Oh,
sorry, not Florida. Orlando, but...
Orlando! And you've never experienced this experience.
No.
I'm really interested to see what you're going to say. Let's go on an adventure.
Let's go on an adventure, shall we?
Okay.
So, yesterday we tried to record in the park.
Twice.
And it didn't work out, so hopefully this will be our last time we're recording. So
look, if it doesn't work this time, there will be no end to the episode.
It'll just end abruptly.
It'll just be like, follow us on social media. Bye. Follow us on social media. Goodbye.
I keep forgetting to go back and forth. So Michelle and I are back in DCA. And so PhilharMagic was great. It was... I really enjoyed it. I did like... it was very Donald's butt-centric.
Well, I liked it because they made great use of lights, motor action. No. They made great use of lights. Like, at one point, some things fly out of the screen, and, like, they... like, the light follows it, so it feels like, oh, like, this is really coming to you. And then, in the Lion King section, not only are they using the side screens, but they're also using light. So it's very immersive. It's not even 4D. It's
5D, 6D.
6D.
Yes.
It's 23. It's D23. Ooh!
I liked the side screens. It was really good for periphery vision. I wouldn't recommend just staring at them.
No, if you stare at them, you will be bored.
Yeah, but I like the 3D. I will say, like, all the animation was beautiful, but Ariel and Jasmine, like, looked weird just because I'm not used to that style.
Okay, I am personally offended by that. I think that Ariel looked so cute, and Jasmine looked, because she was really tiny, she looked just like a cute little tiny little nugget of Arabian adorableness. I just really liked her.
And then in the Beauty and the Beast part, I mean, I don't want to say I didn't like it.
Look, you better choose your next words wisely. If you say anything bad about the Beauty and the Beast part, I will, I'll do something really bad.
There's a spoon by her.
There's a spork. I will sporky you.
They had, like, 3D pies and cakes and, like, desserts, and that I didn't like because I'm trying not to eat as much sugar, and it's just like, oh, Donald's holding a pie in your face.
Well, I had a croissant, which I was like, breakfast, and Dale was like, do you want a croissant? And I'm like, uh-huh. And he's like, is it because you're Belle? And I'm like, uh-huh. And then I had strawberry and cream cheese in it, so it was a lot of sugar, so much so that we sang the Chippendale Rescue Rangers. When I say we, I mean just me. Sang the Chippendale Rescue Rangers song as loud as possible going into the parking garage with all the windows down, and then Dale exploded from embarrassment. Wait, where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, sugar. And then I just had a slushie. So I've had a lot of sugar today.
Overall thoughts on PhilharMagic. Great, recommend. Great place to get into the air conditioning. But we have more exciting things to talk about.
Yes.
Yes, we do. We actually have two special guests with us. Oh, two special guests with us today.
Two and a half special guests if Mr. Dale gets over his shyness.
Yeah, Dale's in the... So one of the guests is Dale.
He's old news.
He's literally... he's covering his face as if you can see him on the podcast.
And he's turning a lovely shade of... What color would you call that? Like a beautiful rouge.
Pale chic.
Pale chic.
But we have two other special guests with us. Friends, fans of the podcast.
Friends... Romans, countrymen.
Fans of the podcast, at least I decided. Their check's still clearing that I'm sending them to say that. National treasures, delights.
And humans.
They
No, well, question, only one human.
Questionable.
Question mark. Tracy Hines and Jenny Ray Gibson.
Hi.
Oh, hello there.
Hello. I've been extremely just enchanted by the way that you're both staring deeply into each other's eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As you're chatting. You are literally inches from each other's faces.
Sometimes we kiss.
Yeah, we do.
I believe it.
I edit it out.
It's a beautiful thing.
Whenever you hear that twinkle sound effect is just because we had to kiss.
Little makeup break.
Yep.
We just got really close. So we are at Disney for my birthday, I guess.
Yeah, we're celebrating Jasmine's birthday, and so we're going to go around in a little circle and say something wonderful about Jasmine, and I will... Jenny Ray can start. And
no,
then...
I was going to say, because it's her birthday, we're going to go on pirates nonstop for the next 5 hours.
I will hold you.
I'm not a big pirates fan.
It's true. I've seen her close her eyes and go, I like this part. I'm like, how do you know where we are?
Okay. Can you smell it?
Smells the same.
I would like to say that Jasmine is an amazing friend because she has a very deep fear of things under the ocean.
Yes.
And I'm a mermaid. You're still friends with me, so. Aww.
Sometimes she puts her fin on me, and I'm like, oh.
Too far.
Jenny Ray, it's your turn to say something nice about Jasmine.
I'm put on the spot, but I just want to say I love you forever. And thank you for being a friend.
I like you for always.
Thank you for being a friend.
We're
going to bring in the Golden Girls.
Thanks for traveling down this podcast road. I'm back again. Your heart is true.
Oh, no.
You're a pal. And a confidant.
Dun-dun-dun.
And in the world of Bobby, invited everyone you knew. You would see the biggest gift would be from me, and the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend.
I have to cut that off.
There's
out.
A really, oh wait, wait, there's a super cool guy over there, and he was dancing, and he is a, yeah, he is super cool, and he has a cool shirt. I like your shirt.
Are you actually? Oh, I thought you were pretending that you were talking.
No, I'm talking to a real person. He was jamming to our singing.
So soon we will have Tracy.
A restraining order.
Jenny and Tracy on officially as guests. But we thought, like, let's just have a little special thing right now. Oh.
Oh. And can we talk about the, should we talk about the parking garage or no?
Oh, parking garage. So we added this to the news. So this is a little, what do you call it, supplement to the news. The parking garage security is now open, but the parking garage, maybe by the time this episode comes out, the parking garage will be open.
Right, so the whole getting on the tram now is completely different. Mm-hmm. So if you're coming from Mickey and Friends, you get off the escalators, mm-hmm. and then you go, you all kind of line up and go into security, and then they have you in like an A side or B side, kind of like the olden days where, well, actually no, not like the olden days at all. You have like little stalls so that mm-hmm. it's not a lot of pushing and shoving. It's just like, it holds about five people, and then there's like five people that can stand behind. I don't know. It's beautiful and it's perfect. It feels, there's like fancy lights. Mm-hmm. It feels
like Mickey lights.
Yeah, it feels like an airport terminal. Also, there is a giant pink bubble with bell in it, so I freaking love it.
Michelle lives there now.
Boop, boop.
Boop, boop. So yeah, we are pro new parking structure. Hopefully.
We are pro PhilharMagic. We are pro California.
Soaring over California forever.
That's right. And you know what else I'm pro?
Me.
Yeah.
I'm pro you.
Thanks.
So Tracy, do you have anything you want to plug?
You guys should really subscribe to 1313 Harbor the Park.
Oh yes.
They talk about my favorite place, the Paris of the South. Orlando, for anyone that doesn't know. Orlando.
Tracy gets the first Paris of the South shirt, for sure.
Thank
oh,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Jenny, do you have anything you want to plug?
Obviously. Which thing? There's so many. But I am coming out with a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Jenny is coming out with a podcast. Oh, and we're going to have... We're going to have a cross promotional synergistic backwards overflow episode.
So technically you're hearing, I mean, she'll announce it before this episode comes out, but technically we're breaking the news.
Breaking the news. Break it. It's there.
Tracy, do you want to do the end part? So Tracy, where can you find us on Instagram?
On Instagram. At 1313 Harbor the Podcast.
Yes.
And you can find us on Twitter at
1313 Harbor.
And if someone wanted to email us, Tracy, where could they email us?
1313harborthepodcast@gmail.com.
We also have a website, 1313harborthepodcast.com.
Under no circumstances should you ever put the www.
Yeah, the www doesn't work.
World Wide Web.
So yeah.
I don't know. So we can't figure it out.
Mr.
Dale, please say something.
Business cards coming soon.
Oh, business cards are coming this week.
That's
Michelle
right.
will hand them out to you when she talks to you.
And Dale designed them, so yay.
So on
it's
behalf
of mediocre at best.
they're all right.
So we hope you have a magical, wonderful week.
We do indeed.
Thank you for being a friend.
Can we sing the song together?
Yeah. Which one?
It's time for
1313 Harbor, the podcast hosted by Jasmine and Michelle.
Hi, Tracy and Jenny.
Bye.